And so looking at, if you want, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Peter 3. And look at the last verse of that chapter. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18. We'll begin there. And then go to our sheet. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the blessing it is that we can gather together today, and I'm looking forward to the services this morning and this evening. Father, I pray that you would bless your word as it goes forth here in this class and as well as the other classes this morning. I pray that you bless our time together. I pray that you work in our hearts. Show us things personally in our lives, and Lord, help us to evaluate these different aspects of life so as we move forward in the new year. We would know what areas we need to concentrate upon in order to be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here in 2 Peter 3, verse number 18, Peter tells us to grow in grace. And whose responsibility is that? Whose responsibility is it to grow in grace? Ours. Okay, this is active. We have the responsibility to do this. It's not something that's done to us. It's not something that God does in our life as far as we're inactive and He's doing everything. We are to be active in growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we consider these areas of that are on your sheet. Brother Hammett put down as the Christian circle. So we have in our spiritual life, we have our time with our Bible, how we grow, our devotional time in God's Word. And in prayer, we have our witnessing and our fellowship. And we're going to score these 1 to 5, or you're going to score these in your, just your own personal life. I'm going to give you the things to fill in, the A, B, and the C's under each of these. And you're going to score them 1 to 5, 1 being almost never. So I'll just give you the first one under the Bible, letter A. Am I daily in the Word? So 1 would be almost never. 5 would be always. I'm in God's Word every single day. And so that's how you'll score all of these, is with a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. So am I daily in the Word? How important is it for us to be daily in God's Word? Very. It's our strength. We get instruction from God and direction for the day and the strength for our journey. We're to be growing in grace. What is grace? What's the definition of grace?
The unmerited favor of God.
Unmerited favor of God? Any other ways you've heard it defined? At Christ's expenses, okay? God's riches at Christ's expenses. A little acronym there. God's help. Unmerited help in our life. And so if we want God's help, we're going to grow in grace. We better be in His Word. If we want God to help us, we better be in His Word. So it's important that we are daily in the Word of God. Whether that is listening to it, you know, sometimes if people travel a lot, they'll, you know, instead of listening to talk radio all the time or something else all the time on the radio, get a good app on your phone and listen to God's Word. When you're going to bed at night, listening to God's Word. Throughout the day, instead of listening to good music, which is important to listen to good music. But there are times, instead of doing that, listen to God's Word. Turn on the Bible app and and listening to that. So listening to God's Word or sitting down and having a Bible plan where you're reading through it at a particular rate, and we're at the beginning of the year, and many of you maybe have started a Bible plan, whether you're reading through it in a year, whether you're reading through it in 90 days, reading through it in 30 days, having that time that you are daily in His Word and reading it. But number two, or letter B, in our Bible, does it lead me to fellowship with Christ? So does it lead me to fellowship with Christ? That's letter B. What I mean by this, there are times we can read God's Word where it doesn't lead us to fellowship with Christ. I mean, that's not our purpose, maybe even at times. There may be times that we're reading it just to read it, just to get through it. There may be times that we're reading it, and this can be for those that teach or preach, where we're reading it in order to teach or to preach it, and not necessarily for fellowship. Now, the best times that you're teaching and preaching is when you've gotten that fellowship with God. But there are times that you may be in God's Word and you're studying a passage of Scripture in order to teach it, and you aren't necessarily enjoying fellowship with Christ through that. So it's important that when we get in God's Word, that more important than checking off our box that I've read, three chapters in the Old Testament and two chapters in the New Testament and the Psalm or Proverb, more important than checking off those boxes, if you only get through two verses out of your, if you're reading through it in 90 days and you're reading, 10 chapters a day, but if you only get through two chapters or two verses, and you can't get beyond that because of how God's dealing with your heart and your fellowship with Him in that, you'll get more out of God's Word in those two verses than you will in reading the 10 verses if it's just reading it to check off a box. So does it lead me to fellowship with Christ? If it's almost never, you'd put a 1. If it's all the time, you'd put a 5. And a number 3, letter C, am I saturated in the Word? Am I saturated in the Word? So if you think back to Psalm 1, one example of this. Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So am I saturated in the Word? Are you meditating on God's Word throughout the day? You may not always be able to have it open in front of you where you're reading it, but are you meditating upon it? Are you thinking about it? Are you memorizing God's Word? And just throughout the day, thinking about God's Word, thinking about the principles that are in His Word that He's teaching you as you had that fellowship with Him maybe early on. You think about your devotions. What does devotion mean? What's that? Okay, devoting time to Him. It's, in Acts 17, when Paul was in Athens, see if we can find the verse. I can't find it right now. Maybe I'll find it. In verse number 16 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. So it speaks about devout persons, those that were devoted to, whether it was Judaism, he was with the Jews, but also those that were devoted to their false gods. It was said of in Athens, it was easier to find an idol than it was to find a person. There were so many idols set up around that city. So there was a lot of devotions going on. People that were devoted to these false gods, and yet it wasn't a true heart worship. How can you have a true heart worship with a rock, with a stone? But our devotions ought to be, we are devoting ourselves to the Lord. We have a heart relationship with Him. We have fellowship with Him. And as we have that fellowship with Him, we're in His Word daily. It's led us to fellowship with Christ. That's going to help us through the day then to be saturated with His Word, because we're going to be thinking about those lessons, thinking about the things that He's taught us earlier. So getting in His Word and being saturated with that. So am I saturated in the Word of God? Am I meditating on it day and night? So important thing. So if you have, you total up your things, if you're at three would be the lowest score for the total for those three sections. Hopefully you're not at three. Probably if you're honest with yourself, no one is at 15. No one got five for all of those, but maybe you did. But are those things, you have that score, put that in the total there. And so then we look towards prayer. What is prayer? Okay, talking with God. God's Word is the Bible, Him speaking to us. Prayer is when we speak to God. So letter A, just like letter A under the Bible. Do I pray daily? Do you pray daily? Hopefully, it's a five. That you always pray daily. Hopefully that's a five, but if you don't, if it's just sometimes, then if it's a three, hopefully it's never a one, almost never. Do I pray daily? But letter B, do I get answers to my prayers? Do I get answers to my prayers? Are you seeing God answering your prayers? Are you seeing God working? Maybe not necessarily the answers that you want. You know, there's times when we get an answer, but it's not what we want, but it's still God answering. An example of this, I was talking to Sister Philippos yesterday, and the doctor was talking to her about Shireen, about something. I won't go into all those things, but the doctor was nervous about some of the news that he was giving her, and when he gave her the news, she said, "Well, that's an answer to prayer." And he says, because it was how she was praying, you know, whether good or bad, she would know what God's answer was, and she said, "Well, that's an answer to prayer." And the doctor was very surprised at the response, because it wasn't necessarily good news, but it was an answer to how she was praying. And so are you seeing God answer your prayers? Even on a daily basis, are you seeing Him answer? Is he working in your prayer life? And then letter C is, are my prayers scriptural? So what does that mean? Are my prayers scriptural? In accordance with His will. What's going to help your prayers to be scriptural?
Knowing God's Word.
Knowing God's Word. Well, we just went over in that first section. So if you're not daily in the Word, if your time in the Word doesn't lead you to fellowship with Christ, if you're not saturated in the Word, more likely your prayers aren't going to be scriptural. But as your prayers are scriptural, you'll be seeing more answers to your prayers. because they're going to be in accordance with His will, they're going to be in accordance with the Word of God. So evaluating our prayer life in this way is important. The third one, so add those up, put your totals there, fill in. You don't have to do those all right now, but this is for you to do. Just for your personal evaluation. For your witness, what does it mean to be a witness? Giving the gospel. What else?
Sharing your testimony along with giving the gospel.
Okay, sharing your testimony. Sharing what you've experienced, what you've heard. And again, that can be in the form, you know, if you're in your Bible daily, God's working your heart through things, you're seeing prayers answered, just telling others, well, I was in God's Word this morning, He showed me this, and what a blessing that was. Okay, that's being a witness. Or, you know, I've been praying for, maybe you're praying for someone. Maybe they mentioned something, a cashier or something, you just say, listen, I'm going to be praying for that. Maybe someone's in the hospital or someone was sick or something else was going on in their life, and you told them, I'm going to be praying for you, and you actually were praying for them. And then you happen to ask them, well, how's your brother doing? How's your mom doing? And they say, oh, she got out of the hospital. And you say, you know, well, that's an answer to prayer. I've been praying for her. Okay, that's testifying. You are telling them what you've experienced. So letter A, am I conscious of the people around me that need Christ? Is there a consciousness on your part of those around you that need Christ? So often we can go through the day and we're with people, but we don't ever really think of their need of Christ. We think of them in other terms, the banker, the clerk at the store. We don't think of them as eternal souls that are in need of Christ. So am I conscious of the people around me that need Christ? So always, never. Where at on that scale? And a letter B is important. Am I targeted in my witness? Am I targeted in my witness? Any bird hunters in here? I was never much of a bird hunter. I mean, I enjoy shooting at birds, but it was always too expensive. If I'm going to spend $70 for all the tags and duck stamps and all that, I can buy a lot of chicken for $70. And even if you get, you know, 10 ducks out of it, that's hardly enough meat for one person. So I was never interested that much to spend the money to do that. But if you were dove hunting or think of more than just when ducks fly in, people are shooting ducks as they come in. But when you're walking in a field and you got your bird dog there and he's going around, and what if you've seen videos or watched hunters or know of hunters and they're walking the field, what usually happens? When are they going to shoot the birds? What happens? So Dwayne? When they're coming up, and how many usually come up? A bunch. usually, I mean, unless you're hunting for maybe pheasant or something, maybe more solitary, but whether it's quail or doves, you might have 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 of them. They all flap at one time. How can you be sure not to hit any of those? If you just point your gun and just start shooting, you probably won't hit one of them. Even though you shoot, here's a big bunch of birds, you think, well, surely I'll hit something if I point my gun in there and start shooting, but probably won't. They'll probably all fly away. Not one of them will drop. And so when they all fly up, what do? You pick out one of them and you try to shoot one of them, and then hopefully you'll get one. But if you're just shooting into the crowd, if you're not targeting one of those birds, more than likely you won't hit any of them. When you think about witnessing, am I targeted in my witness? You know, we put out that sheet of praying specifically for certain people, and we are targeted in who we're witnessing to. We have those on a prayer list of those that hear some specific list of people that here. I want to see these people win to Christ. I want to witness specifically to these people. Not that we don't witness other people, opportunities that come along, out on outreach, different things like that, but who are specific people in your life that you are targeting through prayer, through specific things, talking to them or sending them things. Who are specific people that you are targeting in your witness? It's important to be targeted. So am I targeted in my witness? Are you having a specific goal? Do you have a specific method that you know you've memorized some scriptures and you know, not that you're just going through a memorized plan, but you know what to say. You've studied God's word. You've memorized some scriptures, and when you deal with people, you know how to go through the scriptures with them. Do you have that on target? Do you have a structure? Letter C is, do I have a structure in my witness? Okay, it's one thing to be conscious of souls, letter A. It's another thing to be targeted, specific people. But do I have a structure in my witness? Do I know what to do? So on a scale from 1 to 5, do you know what to do when you're dealing with a lost person? And if you don't, there's a lot of great resources out there, a lot of resources that we have that can help you with that. But do you, on a scale from 1 to 5, where is that? Number 4, fellowship. Number 4, fellowship. Okay, what is fellowship? What is it? What is fellowship? Okay, being with other Christians. What else? What's that? Fellows in the same ship. Okay? Fellows in the same ship, where are they going? To the same place, right? they have the same goals. If they're on the crew, they have the same goals that arrive at that destination. Okay. They have a relationship. Okay. And so when you think about specifically in our spiritual life, we have our church family. Okay, this is our fellowship. And so letter A is, am I being a blessing? Am I being a blessing? It's more than just eating together. Think of there in Acts chapter 2. Verse number 42, 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay, so there was breaking of bread, but that was separate from the fellowship. So fellowship is not just eating together. We enjoy eating together, but we could eat together every single day and never have fellowship. But am I being a blessing to others? How can you be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ? In what ways are we a blessing? Being a servant? Brother John? Edifying them. Okay, how do we edify a brother or sister in Christ? Encourage them. Comfort them. being merciful, compassionate to them? What about the opposite? When there are times that we need to be hard on our brother or sister in Christ, there's things that they need to rebuke. Okay, that's still being a blessing because they need that. There may be times that they need to be told, listen, you're doing some things wrong. You're going down the wrong path. You know, you've been slacking off in this area of your life, seeing some changes take place that, you know, what's going on? And so that's being a blessing. It's not just letting them go on down that path to destruction. It's stopping them and questioning them and encourage them to do what's right. So it's not always just fun things and good things. Sometimes it's bad things that we need to deal with them about. So am I being a blessing? So on a scale of 1 to 5, are you being a blessing? So just showing up, you know, just being here is a blessing. You know, people seeing you is a blessing. You know, people aren't where they usually are at when they're not faithful in God's house. That can be discouraging to people, even if they don't ever talk to you. even if there's not that constant friendship, just seeing someone being faithful is a blessing. But we ought to be more than just that. See, well, my presence alone, that's blessing enough for everyone. It is a blessing, but are you actively being a blessing? Are you striving to do more than just being here? Are you fellowshipping? Are you exhorting? Are you encouraging? Are you rebuking if need be? So on a scale from 1 to 5, so almost never or always being a 5, where are you on that? The next one, letter B, is am I being transparent? Am I being transparent? So what do we mean by that? What do we usually say when come in the door, shake hands, hey brother, how you doing? What's your answer? Good. are you being transparent? What does that mean? John? Yeah, are you willing to share burdens? Are you willing to be vulnerable with someone? Not necessarily everyone, but are you willing to open up yourself to a group of people and be accountable to them, be transparent to them? That's part of that fellowship, that we're willing to be vulnerable. You know, even just telling people, you know, even just physical burdens that we have, there's oftentimes that we don't want to do that because we don't want to seem weak. We don't want to want people to pity us or to think differently of us. And so sometimes we don't even want to share physical burdens that we have. And oftentimes the spiritual struggles that we have, we don't want to share because, again, we don't want people to think badly of us. But it's important that we are transparent, that we're accountable to people. Why is that so important? Why do you think that's important? Ben. There's the scripture that says, I can only think of weep with those that weep. Someone find that verse or passage, maybe a couple of them like that. How can you weep with those that weep or rejoice with those that rejoice if you don't know what they're weeping over? If you don't know those kind of struggles, how can someone do that? How can someone obey that with you if they don't know what you're weeping over? They don't understand the struggles that you're dealing with. And again, not necessarily everyone. you may not open up with everyone about these things, but are there some within the church body that you can open up with and be accountable to and share those kind of struggles with? Can you read those for us?
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own
conceit. Mind the same things? Be
of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit.
Be of the same mind one toward another. How can we do that if we're not if we don't share some of the struggles that we have, some of the victories that we have? We can't be of the same mind one with another. So it's very important that we're transparent with someone, with a group of people. With John.
To me, the same thing. Being transparent, you mentioned. What about the fact that if someone is saying something amiss or acting the wrong way, being able to rebuke in a Christian way, in a loving way, isn't that transparent? So much of the time many times we might hear something or see something, and we don't take the time to say that's not right, that's wrong, and correct. I mean, obviously it's in love, but still,
right.
Be able to do that.
Having the ability to do that. Feeling that you can do that with others, but also others ought to feel like they can do that with you. And so if we have built a wall around us where people know they can't ever say anything to us, then we're not transparent. We're not willing to be accountable to anyone. So it's very important just to have that, because there are things that we handle in life, we deal with in life that by ourselves. We fail. We just mess up. We have things in our life, in our past, that make us weak, maybe in a certain area of life, and we need someone there to help us, to be a blessing to us. And how important that is! It's a very important part of our spiritual life, is having those people around us in those ways. Letter C is it scriptural? Is it scriptural? What are some unscriptural means of fellowship?
Fellowship with unbelievers.
Okay. Being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Fellowshipping with them. Okay. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Is that Ephesians 5, verse 11 or something like that? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So it kind of goes back to what, good fellowship reproves, it shines forth light. But so having that fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, going along with that, not reproving it, can members of a church be involved in unfruitful works of darkness? They can. And so we don't want them going down that path. So, but us involving ourselves in that, that's a dangerous path to go down for ourselves and for the other person. What are some other unscriptural forms of fellowship? I mean, think about other Christians that aren't members here. I mean, hopefully you've got other Christian friends that aren't, around the country, around the world, even around the city. Maybe they're members of another church. What are some unscriptural forms of fellowship? Maybe with them. Right. Right. So those that are involved in causing division, whether doctrinal division, you know, if there's things that they hold that are unscriptural and they're trying to cause division that way, or just division in, you know, I don't like brother so and so, I don't like how he does this, I don't like sister so and so because she does this or does that, and just causing having a divisive spirit like that. We're to not allow that. In fact, we're told to mark them, which cause divisions that are contrary to the doctrine which we've received, and we're to avoid them. So marking them involves naming them, you know, calling out names. Remember when Brother L. Wells, when he was preaching here, and he would say, I'm not going to name names, but their initials are Jack Hiles. something like that. He would always name the names for the initials, but we're to mark them. We're to know who's causing divisions and not be around them. We ought to encourage them to do what's right, but we ought not to just be in that group. It's those kind of groups that usually will cause church splits. Or if they're not a part of the church, they're out at another church and you're around them all the time, they're saying these things, maybe saying things about other members of the church here, and pretty soon they draw you away. And there's been a lot of people that have left churches because of unscriptural fellowship. So it's very important that we guard who we're friendly with, who we're have that tight fellowship with. We've got to be friendly with everyone, but as far as who we have that tight fellowship with and how we involve ourselves in their lives. So on a scale from 1 to 5, where would you put your fellowship? So fellowship is not just eating food together, okay? It's Christ-centered conversation, being a blessing to others, giving of yourself, being transparent. All those things are involved in this fellowship. So how is your fellowship? You can add up your numbers. And then this last one, Jesus, letter A, how is my communication with Christ? Again, this goes back to really all of these things above it, with your Bible reading, your life in your Bible, your prayer life, even in your witnessing, being led of the Holy Spirit and dealing with lost souls. So how's my communication with Christ on a scale from 1 to 5? A letter B, am I making Him happy? Am I pleasing Him? So consider your life. Consider these four things above. Your Bible reading, prayer life, your witnessing, your fellowship. Am I pleasing Him? How do we please Christ? Very basic ways of pleasing Christ. Obeying His word. Okay? If you love me, keep my commandments. So am I being obedient to Him? Am I pleasing Him? What's that? Are we glorifying Him? Or are we dragging His name through the mud? You see that so many times through the Old Testament where God works on behalf of His people, not because they deserve judgment, but God says, I'm sick of you dragging my name through the mud, so I'm gonna work for my name's sake. I'm gonna get you out of this problem for my name's sake. I'm gonna deal with this for my name's sake. In Titus 2, in verse number 2. The verse I'm thinking of is, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I can't even reference that now. Maybe it's Timothy. 2:19 stuck in my head. I thought it was, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't drag Christ's name. Call yourself a Christian. Don't drag his name through the mud by living a life that's unpleasing to him. So am I making Christ happy? Am I pleasing him? Am I being obedient to him? How's my testimony? And then letter C is, do I think of him often? Do I think of him often? If you consider your spouse, hopefully you think of your spouse often. You think of those that you want to be around, that you enjoy. You think about them a lot. You think about them throughout the day. Maybe something comes up and you think about them. Maybe they enjoy a certain food and you have that food. You say, oh, brother so-and-so likes this. This is sister so-and-so's favorite dessert. Why do you think about them? Because you have good fellowship with them. You love them. How many times do we think about Christ? Is he on our mind? So very important. So any blanks that you don't have filled in? Do you guys need anything filled in, Brother Aaron?
Did you hand those questions out?
They're just to fill out on your sheet.
I know, but the questions themselves.
No, they're just, I said the questions would be you to write them in. But I've got a list I can get to.
Yeah, if I can get a copy of that, I'll do it.
Yeah, you have to give me a copy here.
So looking at your numbers, evaluating where you are, you can look through your things. If you have, you know, 5 for your total under Bible, or 15 under Bible, and 6 under prayer, or maybe your Bible and prayer life is up at, you know, 12, 13, 14, but your witness is down at 5 or 6, or your fellowship is down at, you know, 7 or 8, that will show you some areas that you can work on. You can ask yourself, what area do I need to work on most? What areas of my life do I really need to focus on? Do I need to make a plan to get that number up to where it needs to be? And make a plan to increase the number. And you know, if you look at those different areas, and you see, okay, here's an area that, boy, is really lacking. I didn't really think about it before, but this is really lacking my life. Well, how do you encourage that number to get bigger? How do you grow in that area? Where to grow in grace? Where to grow in God's help in those areas? Well, how do you do that? What's your plan to do that? And how do you find God's Word? You know, how, you know, these truths from God's Word, how do they apply to my life? And how can I apply them in this area of my life to cause this area to be more productive? I want to get this number that's a 4 now. I want to get that up to a 15. How do I do that? And think through the steps in your life that need to happen. Some of them are fairly easy. Maybe all of them, we could say, are easy, technically speaking. But you know, am I in my Bible daily? Well, that's an easy thing to remedy. Setting a time and reading your Bible every day, making the choice. Before I eat, I'm going to read God's Word. And eventually you'll get hungry enough and figure out, you know what, I need to read God's Word so that I can eat. I mean, that's an easy thing, reading God's Word every day. It's an easy thing to pray every day. Those things are easy, but the other things, does it lead me to fellowship with Christ? That takes a little bit more work, a little more thought. Am I saturated by God's Word? That takes a little more work of memorizing God's Word and meditating on it throughout the day. But those are also easy things to remedy that you can grow in. Praying daily, again, is an easy thing, but making sure your prayers are scriptural, maybe you're really low on that, or seeing answers to prayer, again, that really ties back in with the first one. Seeing praying according to God's will. In the area of witnessing, maybe that's a harder area for some, but you know, how do you grow a consciousness of those around you? Okay. of their need for Christ? How do you grow that consciousness? How do you target in your witness? Those aren't things that are it's not rocket science. We've talked about a lot of these things over the past couple of years, many times from many different preachers. These things have been hit upon. It's just an area that so often we let go by the wayside. We don't concentrate upon. So now that you have the numbers, figure out what needs to be done to grow those numbers. Figure out how to grow in this coming year. Any comments or questions this morning? Anyone have the correct time? I don't trust that clock anymore. 10:20. Okay, so it's time to and any questions or comments? All right, let's pray. Father, I do pray that you bless the coming service. I pray, Father, you'd be glorified in all that's done. And Lord, we look forward to this coming year. We look forward to growing in grace. And Father, I pray you'd help us to evaluate our lives, Lord, and seeing the areas that need to change. And Father, be willing to do things to make those changes. And Father, I just pray that you would open up our eyes to areas that maybe we're blinded to. I pray that maybe even through the encouragement of others, we would see areas that we need to grow in. And Father, we'll thank you for what you'll do. We pray these things.